into the passage, and then we'll move on to part of it. Now we're in Genesis, and chapter 45. If anybody wants a Bible, Jane is speedily extracting some from the cupboard. Otherwise, I will read it to you. Just remember how the last chapter ended, with Judah on his knees in front of Joseph, completely devastated by what's happened. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come to my father. Such a difference in attitude to how he'd been those 22 years before when he'd sold Joseph into slavery. So chapter 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5, there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of Egypt. Now, hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, all that you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And afterwards his brothers talked with him. And when the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours.' So the sons of Israel did this, and Joseph gave them carts as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away. And as they were leaving, he said to them, 'Don't quarrel on the way.'" I had to laugh at that. Anyway, we're going to skip some of this, because they go, they bring Jacob and his family. And Jacob comes down, and if the following chapter and verse 28. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before them, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now I'm ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." This is the most wonderful healing of family relationships. And if you were here last week, John mentioned that the fundamental thing that healed this crisis of circumstances was forgiveness. Joseph had forgiven his brothers totally. And John also mentioned, I'll say this because if you're looking for Graham Kendrick's, what is it? Shine Jesus Shine at the Albert Hall on YouTube. When you've done that, just look up R.T. Kendall and Total Forgiveness. And he's preached this sermon many times. And it's very powerful and it's very important. And the fact that God has brought it to us today may be significant. Because, you know, we've been through this series in Ephesians. I keep coming back to it. Transformed life, transformed living. There is a world of blessing, a spiritual blessing, which is open for us. The doors are open. And one of the things which can keep us bogged down, keep us chained, is unforgiveness. I know it. And it's really important. And the promise of God is if you can let these things go, if you can forgive, the doors are opened. This eternity of blessing that God has for you, it's his promise. It may be that that is for us today. Now, it's not something that comes naturally to us. It's not in our fallen nature, actually, to forgive. I know that from my own personal experience. Something goes wrong, something happens, something against you. And the feeling is a cry of injustice. Vengeance, revenge, those are strong words. But you know what builds up inside you? Jesus teaches another way. Transformed life. Transformed living. We sang the Lord's Prayer. There was one line missing. Maybe in others, but there's one line missing. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those are Jesus' words. And notice how he links our forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass. There's a link between the two. But do we? We say those words so many times. And the challenge to me as I went through this was, Mike, do you? Or do you just say the words? Do we forgive or do we somehow demand justice? Now, I know because I suppose of my position in the church and what people, that there are people in the church who have been abused awfully, who have suffered more than anything I have ever known at the hands of people that they loved and trusted. People who've suffered physical and mental hurt, people who've been badly treated in their workplace, I know. Nothing I have suffered comes anywhere near what some people have had to go through and live with every day. So what I say now doesn't come from any feeling of superiority, but of something that God wants to release in your hearts and lives. And bring this blessing upon you. Jesus said this, and these aren't the words of Joseph, these are the words of Jesus in that great Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You have heard that it was said," and this is the Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, "eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. How many times do you hear this, turn the other cheek? Just words. Can you do it? Can I do it? If anyone if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Again, one of those expressions which you hear, time and go the extra mile. It's come into our national vocabulary. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? This is tough stuff, Jesus. You need to help us on this one. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? But be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And you see, these weren't just pious words. This was Jesus speaking from his heart. This was the new covenant life. This was the life that God so wants to see worked out in our hearts. And 3 years later, after a monstrous miscarriage of justice, Jesus is being crucified. He's been flogged. He has gone through the most awful mental and physical abuse and torture. And the words that come out of his mouth are, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, this is extraordinary forgiveness. This is something beyond what we can know in the natural. You see, it doesn't take a lot of grace to forgive someone who's been sorry to you, who's expressed regret. What it takes buckets of grace to do is to forgive someone who refuses to acknowledge the wrong and is maybe even oblivious to it. That is really hard. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is God's forgiveness. So let's look at Joseph. See what we can learn about forgiveness. And in this, remember Ephesians 1, transformed life. God has promised you an inheritance, eternal security in his family forever. That's his promise. Predestined for adoption as sons. These are the words that Paul wrote. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. That is what is on offer. And yet, if we cannot forgive, somehow we find ourselves in chains. If we can release the chains, we'll be free. Blessed with every spiritual blessing will become a new reality. It won't just be words on a book. It'll be a reality in your life. So, there are a number of things. The curious incident of the cup in the sack, right? Okay, you picture the scene. There are officials and attendants around. Judah and the brothers are down on their knees. They've told this awful story of what they did all these years ago to somebody, to their brother, not knowing that this was Joseph. It all gets too much for Joseph. And he says, everybody out. All go. So all the officials, I guess, file out. He even sends the interpreter out. And Joseph was alone when he revealed himself to his brothers. Now, some things, some points just to take with us if this will work. Total secrecy. When you forgive someone, it's like it's an act of will. It takes place in your heart. That is the key. See, if Joseph had wanted to, he could have told all those Egyptians in the room that he was Joseph, he was the brother that they sold into slavery, and made that link. And then the Egyptians, I don't know what the result would have been, the Egyptians would have despised and hated the brothers in the same way that they loved and looked up to Joseph. But it was like Joseph didn't want that. He wanted to esteem his brothers. He wanted to make them heroes. God has forgiven me. God has forgiven you. Can you forgive others? That is the question that it seems God is speaking to me, to you maybe. God never brings up the things that you have done. He never reveals the skeletons in your cupboard. They are between you and him. He doesn't do it. So, if this is you, if this is something that you need to do, tell Jesus. Forgive them in your heart. Tell Jesus. Maybe it's good to tell one other person. This was R.T. Kendall's suggestion. Someone who you can trust will never tell anybody else. It'll probably help to nail it. Right, second thing. Don't make them feel guilty. Don't make the guilty party feel guilty. This is so against our nature, isn't it? You see, if guilt brings you to repentance, that is positive. That's good. But Jesus never rubs your nose in it. He doesn't. Joseph said, don't be angry with yourselves. Jesus said, forgive. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. These brothers, you know, they carried this guilt for over 20 years. This dark secret that they'd had between themselves and their father as to what had really happened. And you can see from the previous chapter that as soon as things began to go wrong in Egypt, it was out immediately. God's judging us. This is because what we did all those years ago, 22 years ago, 1995 is 22 years ago. Long time ago, something you did. And it's been nagging away at them ever since. Clearly it had. And as soon as this happened, it's up. And Joseph says, don't feel guilty. We like to say, oh, because it just suffer a little. Just after all you put me through, you just suffer a little. I suppose they had. Don't feel guilty, he said. Joseph said, don't be angry with yourselves. Question for us, can we do that? God will be rejoicing if you do. And you will know it. Third one. Let them save face. He says, it was God that sent me here. It wasn't you. Well, you did, but God was behind this. God sent me here. That was the place that Joseph had come to. He'd been through all these dark years. Nearly 20 years of imprisonment and so on, and then eventually got to where he was. He didn't know how this was going to work out. Of course he didn't, but now he could see. It was God that sent me here. Everything was part of God's plan. You see, if you've done something against somebody else, there's a shame in that, isn't there, if it comes out. I mean, you see people who get exposed for doing the most awful things, and maybe the worst thing they have to face is the shame, having to face the situation, having to face their friends, having to face everything. And you might say, if you've been the wronged party, well, I don't care if they're ashamed. They deserve everything they get. That's the sort of natural reaction. Father, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Can we forgive? Kind of like this. Let them save face. That's what Joseph did to his brothers. He didn't rubbed their noses in it. This is sort of similar, I suppose. He protected their dark secret. You see, he was sending them back to his father Jacob, but he gave them specific instructions, didn't he, as to what they should say. He said, say this, word for word. And there was nothing. It was just all about what God had done. And to come. Again, you see, God doesn't tell people about the skeletons in your life, in your cupboard. And we don't need to do that for the one who has wronged us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against you. Those words kind of hit me this week as I was going through this scripture. Lastly, it's forever. Once you have forgiven totally, Satan has no hold on you anymore. If you haven't, there's a kind of there's a point of weakness which he can get at. With this forgiveness, he's lost that. You're free. Chains are free. Have gone. You are free. If you flip over in the Bible to chapter 50, that's probably coming down. Somebody else will be preaching about this later on. But Jacob had died. He's been buried. The period of mourning is over. And then the brothers all of a sudden are afraid again. They're afraid, now that their father's gone, they're afraid of what Joseph might do. So they make up a little story about what Jacob had told them to tell Joseph before he died. Wasn't true, I don't think. So they sent this message to Joseph, and Joseph just weeps. In his mind and his heart, they were totally forgiven. They had not believed him, really. And he said, you intended harm to me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. He blessed them. Words of Jesus again come to mind, don't they? You know, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless them. That was Joseph. Incredible, really. Okay, that's my 5 points. Now, I guess if this is for you, and there is someone you need to forgive, family, I don't know, friends, workplace, church, there is an opportunity to be free. And it's something that you need to do in your heart. First of all, it's you, it's an act of will. And do it. And the blessings of God will come upon you like you have never known. You will be free. Maybe of something that has bogged you down for years. I don't know. I just feel that this is what I ought to say. Let's have a 30 seconds, something like that. Just to do it. Do it in your heart. God is longing for you to be free. Just longing for it. And there will be joy in heaven if you can do it. He will bless you with unspeakable joy. Okay. Now, if you want to, tell one person afterwards. One, a person that you can trust who will keep it to themselves forever, but will stand with you. That is God's promise to you.
Thank you, Mike.